Hello and welcome to episode 56 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. I'm Amy Crawford, founder of the holistic ingredient brand and lifestyle store created exclusively for women. This podcast series is dedicated to women seeking to enrich their lives with every drop of zest. I'm deeply passionate about fostering comfort and confidence as we explore the multifaceted world of womanhood together. Now, before we dive in, this is part two of my two-part conversation with Sarah Tynan. If you've not yet listened to episode 55, I highly recommend you do that before you dive into this one. During this episode, Sarah uses real-life examples of how her own life propelled forward even when her existing reality would suggest it impossible. This episode is a must listen for those feeling sick of their current reality and ready to experience positive and significant change. Just like the first conversation with Sarah, I feel very confident you're going to love this one. Today's episode is brought to you by my best-selling raw organic maca powder, a blend of red, yellow, and black maca, sustainably sourced from the mountains of Peru. Maca has been used traditionally to naturally balance hormones, boost mood, promote stamina, build libido, and foster greater energy. You can add this delicious multi-flavored powder to your muesli, porridge, smoothie, bliss balls, or hot choc. Available now via my website, theholisticingredient.com. Hello, hello, Sarah, and welcome back.
Yay, I'm so excited. This is going to be another powerful conversation. I can feel it.
Oh my gosh, I had so many goosebumps in the last conversation. And after sharing a few snippets from that conversation with some of my online community, I think everybody is rather desperate to get the conversation in their ears. Yay. And so this, as we know, is part two. Now, what I want to do is just briefly recap the previous conversation for those who may have not heard that in the recent past. Now, in our last discussions there, we spoke about making aligned decisions and brought awareness to the maybe section in our lives, the things that we let sit in our reality that aren't painful enough to be a no, but they don't light us up and aren't a hell yes. They, as you said, tend to clog up our reality, keeping us in a perpetual hamster wheel where we just end up stuck. And there's no growth in that space. Now, we also talked about what it is that we are tolerating, and if we aren't, and if we aren't certain about that full-bodied yes in our lives, you encourage us to simply to plant the seed that we're not prepared to keep tolerating those maybes.
Yes.
Now, we also quite significantly discussed the necessity of letting go of the how if we can't see what it is that we want. Now, and this next bit leads us on to what we are going to discuss today. And really importantly, you referred to what you call the evidence distortion. And I'm going to paraphrase you here. Everything we are experiencing right now in our reality is an accumulation of all of our programming, all of our blocks, all of our distortions to this very point, including our growth and expansion. But here's the problem. We are looking at our physical reality that is actually an accumulation of all that I've just mentioned, and we are looking at it as evidence for what is possible for us. But our current reality is simply an accumulation of old programming. Mm-hmm. So we crave the evidence of a green light, but we'll never get it if we're looking to that programming. We have to choose.
Yes.
And so with that introduction, I handball it to you.
Such a powerful conversation, because I think, you know, we've been told time and time again that we have free will, and we actually don't. Like, we actually become slaves to our own programming. We become slaves to the masses. We become, you know, we look around and we see what other people are doing. We see the lives people have paved, and we think that's what we have, like how we have to live as well. And so I think, you know, to step this conversation up a notch, we spoke about alignment. We spoke about like clearing out the energetic clutter. We know the maybes can be really hard to look at. And when you shift them out, I promise you, your life will change. And this is coming from my own personal experience and your experience, Amy. But when we want to step that up a notch, we then need to understand how we transcend this, what I'm referring to as the evidence distortion. How do we get past, we need to look at our reality right now as a launching pad, not for evidence of what is possible for us. Because again, this is what's going to continuously perpetuate the sameness. If we don't see it's possible, it's because right now it's not something we've manifested yet. And so we need to use this as a launching pad. And so I want to talk today. I think it'd be important for people to understand like what you can actually do instead of continuously regurgitating the same experiences, how you can use where you're at right now as a launching pad into newness. And I've done this several times. And this is what I teach. And it is, I promise you, it's life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. So, and Amy, you've done this too, actually. And, you know, like we have in a lot of ways have had a lot of parallel experiences, funnily enough.
It's true.
I know. It's so true. It's so true. And so, yeah, like this is really important. If we really want to be in this place of free will, we have to understand, like, firstly, I think I said this in the last podcast, you know, the awareness is the most powerful thing you can have, because I always say that when the truth is spoken, the spell is broken. When you don't understand that you're under the spell of this programming, you can't break through it. And so just by simply having these conversations and awakening yourself to what this truth is, and sometimes your ego, it might take a second for your ego to catch up, but something in you feels like, wow, this is really expansive and there's something resonating in me. You're actually breaking the spells of programming. And that's the first step. It's just understanding what's going on.
Right.
Yes. So that's what we want to get into a lot deeper in today. So when we look at our current reality, I want to tell you guys a story. I want to tell you a story. And I oftentimes, you know, when we understand, there's so many people that have really helped solidify this understanding for me. And I think I spoke about Dolores Cannon last time, but she was a hypnotherapist and she took her patients so deep into trance. They started bringing out like universal truths instead of going, you know, if you are in hypnosis, you know, some people can go back and they talk about past life things. And I don't know, you know, some people may be into that. Some people may not be into that. But Dolores Cannon would take her patients so far deep that they just started coming out with all these profound truths. And Dolores said that she was accessing universal truths through her clients. And so, you know, she taught me a lot about how deliberate creation works, how energy works, how manifestation works through her thousands of case studies of through working with her clients. Unfortunately, she's no longer physically with us. But here's the one thing she said that helped me transcend what I refer to as the evidence distortion. She says that when you use your mind is actually a navigation tool. And here's what we think. I think we underestimate the power of our thoughts and our imagination. I think we've been told, we've been programmed to think that our imagination is just our mind making things up. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, just, you know, you're delusional. We're just making things up. But what Dolores found from thousands and thousands of her patients and thousands of case studies that they were telling Dolores through hypnosis that your mind is actually a navigation tool. And if you understood how realities work, when you can see a vision, when you can see something in detail, it's because it's a reality that's already done. It's a reality that's already done. And we kind of, I know this is like, boom, this is a bit of a, wow, this is a bit of a mind explosion one. But even if it's hard for your mind to grasp or wrap your head around that truth, I think it's going to be important for you to hold on to that, because that knowing will like kind of pull you up out of this evidence distortion, out of all the muck, out of all the programming, out of all the doubt, out of all the things that have kept you suppressed, and allow you to step on the platform to see that there's actually more for you, but you just haven't manifested it yet in your physical reality.
Right.
What's going, Amy?
Oh, so many questions. So many. Oh, keep going. Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Do you have a question?
No, keep going. This is, if you're happy to,
Yeah, I'm happy to. Powerful. I want to use an example of this. So this is where, you know, you talk about alignment, you talk about releasing the how. For me, the next layer of this is aligned bravery. Aligned bravery is this knowing that you have got to do something. You have to make a decision, but it is scary as hell. And from
can I just quickly ask a question here? So in that moment, I imagine there'd be listeners going, well, how do I know the difference between
it? Yes.
Me having to be brave because it's scary as hell, or is it because I'm right out of my comfort zone, or because it's wrong?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Amy, thank you for asking this question. Okay. So this, you know, I have a lot of spiritual people in my community because of the things I talk about. I talk about energy but we break it down into quantum physics and manifestation because there is a science behind the stuff I talk about. So with my beautiful spiritual people, they find that hard to discern because women especially are feelers. We feel our way through everything. And if something doesn't feel right, we have been innately hardwired to lean out and to back away. And so aligned bravery can be extremely confusing because we can oftentimes misinterpret fear for something being misaligned. Okay, so this is one of the most powerful things. This, if you could take anything from our two conversations that we have had, it is the knowing. It is the divine knowing. It is divine knowing. It is something in yourself that is just pointing you in that direction, and you know you have to do it. And sometimes it will be paired with fear. Your body will pull you towards it, even though you're scared as anything. But you have to lean into that edge. You have to learn to lean into that edge. The opposite of that is that gut-wrenching feeling that your body will lean away. Your body is the organ of truth. You'll have that gut-wrenching feeling that's not going to be associated with a deep internal embodied knowing. It's going to be more up here where your head's trying to make you make a decision and your gut's telling you, it's like this tug of war. Your gut's telling you, no, this is wrong. But it's all coming from a head place, not a divine knowing place. I had this actually when I was in college and I desperately wanted to move closer to a guy I was dating. He lived an hour away. And it was a head thing. It wasn't a divine. No, every time I wanted to be with him, my head wanted to be there. But every time I went to the town he lived in, my gut was wrenching. I couldn't eat. There was something in me saying, Sarah, this is wrong. There was no knowing there. It was just bizarre. However, when I went to move to Australia, which is across the world, it was scary, but I just knew it. I just knew I had to live there. And so if the fear is paired with a knowing that comes from not from your headspace, but from an embodied knowing, lean into that.
So if it's simply, I can't explain it, I just know it. That's okay.
I can't explain it, and be okay with the fact that it might be paired with fear.
Yeah.
And that is the edge, that when you lean into the edge, that's when your life changes. That's when things start shifting because you're transcending your old programming. Now here's what happens. It's like the fear is there because you feel like this, there's this primal thing in you that feels like you're going to die. And it's like scary. It's trying to keep you safe, but part of you does die. Part of you has to, in order to live in this place of newness. And so this is why I encourage people to lean into that, because you're actually letting go of an old version of yourself. An old version of yourself is dying away.
Right.
And wow. We don't mess around with small talk here.
No, we certainly do not. Big change.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The first time I ever experienced myself transcending my own evidence distortion was when I invested in my first mentor. Now, I'll set the stage for what was going on. We had just moved from Williamstown, where you and I used to hang out, Amy. And we had a house in Williamstown. We bought a place up here in the Macedon Ranges, and I didn't have my business at the time. I wasn't a business coach. I was a kinesiologist. I was working one-on-one with people, and I don't know how we got approved for a loan, but we somehow did. In that moment, we had a bridging loan connecting our two houses. So if we defaulted on one, we lose both. COVID, this is 2019. COVID just hit. So this is November 2019. I think I invested around March 2020, or I wanted to. And here comes this mentor, and I was just like, I know I need to work with her. Meanwhile, it's $33,000. To work with this mentor. If I was to look at all the evidence around me, Jeff just lost all of his gigs because of COVID.
So he's a musician.
He's a musician. Sorry. Yeah. He's a musician. Yeah. He teaches 2 days a week. back then he did, at least. And so he just lost his main source of income. I lose all my in-person kinesiology clients. I have luckily have some online, and that was okay. You know, we just bought a house. If we were to default on either mortgage, we lose everything. However, there was a knowing I had to work with this woman. I had to. But if I was to look at the evidence and make my decision based off of what I was experiencing, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I would still probably be in the old reality somewhere trying to figure out like how I can be happy in this crazy mess. I invested in a mentor. I invested in her because I knew. I just knew I had to. And luckily, it took a few sessions of marriage counseling, as you can imagine. And, you know, eventually Jeff got behind it too, which was beautiful. And I made organically multi six figures back within about 8 months. Paid that loan off in, I paid that mentor in 6 months. I paid her off totally. Wow. And it's that ability to transcend all the evidence that your reality has created, telling you not to do something because there's a deeper knowing there. This is what free will actually is.
So in that moment, when those moments, then when you were considering your mentor, were you experiencing any fear?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And oh my gosh, yes. Yes. And, you know, divine knowing and also being able to leaning into the edges of that knowing when you know there's a decision to be made, it's a muscle you have to build. It's really a muscle you build. So it was like me in this, it was, again, we spoke about this in the last episode. So guys, if you haven't listened to the last episode, go back and listen. Cause we talked about, you know, pattern interrupting. And I was I had to be so disciplined with my thoughts and in my mind because my mind wanted to take over and pull me way out. But it was just such a discipline of me setting my alarm going, all right, is this aligned with my divine knowing, with my higher self, what I'm thinking right now? Or am I allowing the fear programming to take over again?
Okay. So you had your alarm on your phone?
I did.
Five times a day?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and to check in.
I did not let myself run rampant because my mind wanted to run itself rampant. What if, oh my gosh, there for me, when you decide, now here's a golden nugget. When you decide your success is going to be guaranteed, it will be.
Wow.
Yeah.
That just fills you with a sense with possibility, doesn't it? Extraordinary. Yes.
And it's true. So I just decided you have to sometimes decide your way through really hard things. I just had to decide that that was what was happening. It is guaranteed. There was no other path except for my success is guaranteed, even though every single bit of evidence was screaming at me like, what the hell, Sarah? And then I could have gone down the path, but nobody's going to invest. Like, who's going to spend money in a business coach? Like, for my business, like, who's going to do that? I decided it was guaranteed. And my business growth felt like a fluke. It was crazy what happened. It felt like a fluke. Like, how are these people signing up? There's multiple five figures to work with me. And that's what happened, though.
Yeah. And so did you find yourself also then having to check in on what was happening with your mind? Because I'm imagining myself in this situation, and it's very easy to fall into the trap of, it's just coincidental. I was just lucky in that moment. Letting yourself really full body, accept the magic for what it was.
Thank you for bringing this stuff up, Amy. This is so important to talk about this. So this is what I then do. I then grab all of the evidence, the positive evidence of what I've manifested. And I literally, so when you're trying to create, you're deciding your way through something, I would go. So this is funny that now that you bring this up, I forgot I did this. I went back through everything that I desperately wanted, which was, you know, back when I was working at in corporate and recruitment, like every little thing that I wanted that happened, I went back and I gathered all that evidence and I started creating new evidence for myself, not just the old distorted evidence that was keeping me limited. I was gathering evidence of my ability to manifest in a really, really powerful way. And I'd sit and read that every day. So, oh my gosh, I manifested moving to Australia. I manifested being the top salesperson at this company I worked for when there was zero evidence that would happen as well. I mean, that's a whole other story, but I decided it would happen and it did. So I had to gather that evidence and then reprogram. tell myself these new stories. And then all of a sudden I start subconsciously looping all of this powerful, empowered evidence that, oh, if I just decide it's going to happen and continuously decide, it's not just one decision, by the way, you have to continuously decide and then re-decide because you'll fall off. Got to get back up. And then you gather all the evidence that's empowered that you can do this and use that as like fertile, energetic, manifesting soil. Then you plant the seed.
I just dropped my pen with just amazement. So I've got some thoughts in my head. I want to, for the sake of the listeners, so here's an example, for instance. So actually, firstly, what you would recommend if somebody, let's say there's somebody listening who is wants to invite an incredible relationship into their lives.
Yeah.
It is very easy if you've had a number of unsuccessful relationships, and let's just say there's a similar theme amongst them all, it's very easy to keep falling back onto those stories,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so this wasn't probably the right example, actually.
All of that stuff is similar thread. All of it has a very similar thread. When it comes to wanting something in your life and calling something into your life, the first thing, this is very contradictory. And this is a hard thing. And I said this last time, I think that we are programmed to work against ourselves when it comes to calling things in, because the physical reality works the opposite to the energetic reality. Now, I'm going to answer your question, but I think I need to explain this first. So here's the thing. I'm going to use an example. I'm holding a pen in our physical reality. If we wanted this pen to be further away from us, what we would do is we'd physically push it and it would move away. So hopefully the listeners can have that visual of pushing something and having that physical object move further away. Then we don't want that pen. So we push it away physically. So it moves away from us. In the energetic reality, if we don't want something and we continuously push at it, we reactivate it. So it's like, instead of it moving away, we continuously have it as a looping experience in our reality. So we have to, when you want to call anything in, whether it's a relationship, whether it's business, whether it's money, whether it's whatever, when you decide it's already done and you build that muscle of deciding it's done, what actually happens is you have a spill-on effect of detachment. Detachment is one of the most powerful things because it stops you from needing to push something away because you surrendered. When you surrender, you just let everything fall wherever it needs to land. Instead of constantly pushing and reactivating and trying to pull things near, it's like, it's when you have to think of the universe as a relationship. Imagine if you're so attached to something and it just, you could be with the most good looking human on the planet who has the funniest personality. The second they became clingy, all of a sudden you're just like, ooh, repulsed by it. This is what happens when we so desperately want something to come into our reality. The universe is like, oh, like what's going on here? When you can be detached because you're so fixated and divine knowing that it's already done, everything flows in.
Okay, but you can, even when you're, so when you're detached, it is like what you've also suggested is we do look back for evidence of what you have manifested in the past.
100%.
Yeah.
Because that fuels your knowing. That fuels your knowing. So whenever people say, I found love when I wasn't looking for it, I fell pregnant when I finally just gave up, it's detachment.
Yeah.
It's detachment. They finally let go. And all of a sudden it was just tapping them on their shoulder the whole time, but they were so fixated on needing it. So you have to understand what is sitting under the surface of attachment and its neediness. What's sitting under the surface of neediness? It's scarcity. It's saying you don't have it. And if you say you don't have it, you have to look at the intention under the intention under the intention. If you're saying you don't have it, the universe is a obedient soldier, as you say, Amy. Yes, sir. Yes. Okay. We don't have it. We don't have it. If you're so desperately attached, it's coming from a place of scarcity. But when you build the muscle of divine knowing that it's already done, and it's a discipline that you have to hardwire because it's not something that comes naturally, then you're detached. And I worked, the reason why my business felt like a fluke is because I was detached. I decided it was going to be a success. And then boom, the universe orchestrated it all for me. I had to learn so much about marketing because I didn't even need to do marketing in the beginning.
Oh, it's extraordinary. But then you got support with that, didn't you?
Well, I had a business coach. The coach I hired was a business coach, but she was very spiritual. It was more spiritual stuff than it was business. Eventually, after that person, I then hired a strategic business coach only because I felt my soul craving the strategy, and that's what I followed.
Mm.
But I understand now when it comes to business, unless you've built the muscles the way I have, you have to have a strategy and action and a plan and a good foundation. Like, unless you've built the energetic creation muscles, because your ego needs to be on board with everything that you're doing. And so this is why I teach what I call multidimensional business, where it's like, yes, we do all the 3D strategy, which I love, but we also work on the energetics, because honestly, it's 80%, even higher, 90% of what you experience in your business and in success.
The energetics.
Oh yeah. 100%, like seriously. Yeah. And that's the good news, because that's the thing we have control over.
Yeah. Right.
That, like, for me, if it's like, oh, slow month, all right, energy, where am I at? What am I thinking? Like, that is the first thing I go to.
And for anyone else in business, and something I witnessed in my own business as an example, was how impactful a slow day could be on your energy.
Oh, yeah.
How impactful, like when I first, you know, I could have, you know, there might only be a small number of sales, and that can mean something if you let it.
Oh yeah, we don't do that though.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't make it mean anything anymore.
No.
No. So here's another example. So I think I leaned into the biggest aligned, brave decision when I left my marriage this year. And that, I cannot tell you the sleepless nights, the fear, the when I was still living at the other house, the nights I'd sit up going like, what the actual am I doing? What am I doing? Like, I have a daughter, like I'm not going to be able to see like her every single day. Like, what am I actually doing? And the fear paralyzed me. It absolutely paralyzed me, but there was such a deep knowing, and I know what the magic's like on the other side. And I can, oh, I just urge every single one of you to follow that knowing. That is your soul screaming at you, saying there is so much more, so much more. However, we are all programmed to look at the evidence, aren't we?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
and
a
that
shame.
Too is so generational, isn't it?
It you is.
Know, that you know, I mean, I grew up with parents who just were in the one career.
Yeah.
You stay in one career, you stay in your job, you're loyal, keep doing the thing. It's about security. You need to just build your finances. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't get into any debt. Don't make any big crazy decisions. Just be safe.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, do you know the author Glennon Doyle?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you read her book? What's it called? Untethered, or what's it called?
I can't remember, but I listened to the audiobook.
Yeah, I did too. I want to read you a quote. I put together a few of her, like the things that changed my life. And I wish I would have read, I wish I would have read some of these quotes when I was going through what I went through. Is it Untethered Soul, or no? What is it? Oh, okay. So here's what we do. When we come up against something scary, like, we have to understand an old reality is dying. So again, remember, it's the awareness. So if we understand it's just this old reality, it's just this old part of us that's dying, it's not really a big, that's what's happening for us. And if we consciously understand that that is what this fear is, it's a lot easier to transcend. But Glennon says that you can't, what is the quote? Okay, I'm going to read it. And this is it's so powerful. So these are Glennon's words, not mine. So she says, destruction is essential for construction. If we want to build anew, we must let the old burn. Building a life true and beautiful means a destruction of good enough, which are our maybes. Yeah. Rebirth means death. We only live to the degree that we are willing to be annihilated. Our next life will always cost us this one. If we are truly alive, we are constantly losing who we just were, what we just built, what we just believed, and what we just knew to be true. What I lose now is no longer true enough so I can take full hold of what is. I am a human being meant to live in perpetual state of becoming. If I am living bravely, my entire life will become a million deaths and rebirths. My goal is not to remain the same, but to live in such a way that each day, year, moment, relationship, conversation, crisis is the material I use to become a truer and more beautiful version of myself. The goal is to surrender constantly to who I just was in order to become who this next moment calls me to be. I will not hold on to a single existing idea, opinion, identity, story, or relationship that keeps me emerging new. I cannot hold tightly to any riverbank. I must let go of the shore in order to travel deeper and see farther.
Oh my gosh. Oh, cut and paste and print.
Yes.
Blue tack to the wall.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. That gives me goosebumps because it sort of brings up that energy of just opportunity and expansion and growth and newness and change, yeah. Positive change.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, well, so those are, I actually took those quotes from throughout her book and I just put it all in one thing. But it's like, we have to be willing to be annihilated. We have to be, we only live to the degree we are willing to be annihilated. Do you know what I like? Wow.
Yeah.
Have to be okay with letting parts of ourselves die. And it is not comfortable sometimes, but this is what aligned bravery is. And if you want to change your life, you have to build that muscle of making aligned, brave decisions.
Right.
And that's what transcending the evidence means.
Yeah.
And this is where you step into a place of true deliberate creation, because you're no longer being suppressed by your own thoughts, the fear, the programming, the old versions of yourself, what you feel or thought you had to cling to. This is like true freedom.
Yeah.
Truly.
And so, Sarah, one of the, for listeners, one of the probably most effective tasks to do next would be, as we spoke about in the last episode, because we need to start becoming a lot more aware of the thoughts, is to set the alarm up on the phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Just to really bring awareness to what, to the stories and the programming.
Decide what is true for you.
Yeah.
You just decide what's true for you. And sometimes you have to decide your way through things. You're not going to believe it at first. So here's what we need to understand what a belief is. A belief are just repetitive thoughts we continuously think over and over and over and over and over. So we actually have to decide that something else is true for us before we even believe it. And again, this is transcending your evidence, your old programming. You just have to decide your way through it and convince yourself. I always tell this story about when I was working at Robert Half in the Silicon Valley, and there was no evidence I would ever create success in that role. I'd just come out of university. I'd worked at a gym. I'd worked at a daycare center. I got hired because I was referred, basically. And there was nothing going for me. I hadn't even lived in a city. And here I am in the Silicon Valley. It was like working in a stockbroking room. It was crazy. People screaming. It was sales. It was just, and here I am, this small, timid country girl. But I remember I had done my taxes the year before and I'd made like 13 grand. And I'm sitting in this interview and this woman points at me and she says, "This is a six-figure position. Can you handle it?" And there was something inside me that was such a divine yes, that I knew that it was, I didn't know anything about energy or manifestation or anything, but I decided I was going to be successful. And it was funny, in the Silicon Valley, I created success really quickly there with no evidence that it would ever happen, but I decided it would, and it did. However, they transferred me to Australia. At this point, I had all the evidence. I created success in the Silicon Valley. I'd made heaps of money for the company. I knew the systems. I knew the sales tracks, all of it. I knew how to deal with clients. I knew it all. However, when I moved to Melbourne, my embodiment shifted because I had all these expectations on me. I felt people are watching me. They're going to think, oh, here's this girl from the Silicon Valley. And, you know, she's going to do so much for us. And I just felt the weight of the expectations. And I let that divine yes slip away. I put in all the action, Amy. I was there on the weekends. I was working 50 hours a week. I was doing everything I could physically to make success in that role. And it did not happen. For a year. So I know through living it that action is not what gets results.
Wow.
So here's what happened. I was standing on Latrobe Street. I had this visceral moment where something tapped me on the shoulder that said, Sarah, you're choosing this. You're choosing to fail. And I was like, oh my gosh, if you don't deliberately choose success, you're actually deliberately choosing to fail. And it is that black and white. I know that sounds pretty harsh because who deliberately chooses to fail? But you're choosing your thoughts. You're choosing your belief systems and you're choosing all these things.
And
So I
the months that you'd had where you felt that your performance wasn't up to expectation was just all this distorted evidence that
Yeah.
you couldn't do it, that
Well, yeah, it was just I just grabbed onto the expectations of people. Oh my gosh, they're thinking this of me. And then I just let the weight of that take over me. Instead of being in this tunnel vision of divine, yes, I'm going to create six figures, even though there's zero evidence. I just worked at a childcare center for Christ's sakes. Like, and I'm here, I am this country girl in the big city, you know? And, but Melbourne's a beautiful, Melbourne's like a big country town compared to what I was living in, you know? So you would have thought that I would have had all the evidence for the success, but I didn't grab onto that. I grabbed onto the negativity, the expectations, the stories I was telling myself, well, what these people must be thinking of me. I didn't even pass my probation. They had to extend it. If I was in the Silicon Valley, they would have fired me, but Australia's different. Because they saw I was trying, you know, I was putting all the effort in. And so, in that moment, when I decided, when I was at Latrobe Street and I just had this something that tapped me on the shoulder to say, Sarah, you're choosing this, I told myself one story and it was, I am an explosion of success. We said in the last time, pick one affirmation, just pick one. And I told myself that over and over. And I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I didn't know I was rewiring myself and, you know, all of the things. I didn't know this, but this was me living it. Guess what happened? Everything changed. I became one of the top salespeople worldwide. I was promoted several times. My whole reality changed, but I had to decide my way through it. And I had to tell myself a story that I didn't yet believe because there was no evidence there to show me that that was real. So I've lived this so many different times. I wholeheartedly am telling you this from a place of embodied knowing that it is not the action. I killed myself with action. I did. Killed myself with action until I decided that I was going to be successful and then told myself that everything changed.
Right.
Yep.
Amazing story. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for sharing, Sarah.
You're welcome. There's so many little tidbits in here. There's so many little tidbits. You have to be okay with stepping in a place of aligned bravery and truly making those decisions and then deciding your way through it
Okay.
because you're not going to get the evidence that's going to comfort you. That's what you're going to want in those moments. It just doesn't happen like that. You have to continuously decide and redecide, and then boom, all of a sudden you'll land on the other side of all of this craziness and be so freaking grateful to your past self. And then you trust yourself more, and then you could do scarier things. You know, all of my past led me to a place where I can make the biggest decision of my life, which was to separate from my husband, and I am so freaking grateful. And it's all amicable and all good, but oh my gosh, I am the happiest I've ever been, ever. And it took a minute. Took a
Yeah,
minute.
but as you said, through the process of making these decisions, you're strengthening a muscle.
A muscle.
Yeah.
It's a muscle you build. And so, you know, you got to be easy on yourself. You got to be your own best friend. When you feel like you trip up and fall over, you got to be super lighthearted around it because you don't want to put any more resistance in your path. Trust me, I'm not perfect. I have wobbly moments all the time, but I'm not hard on myself when I do. And that's really important.
Okay. So, Sarah, firstly, is there anything else you feel the listeners need to hear today? I was going to ask you if there was anything else you wanted to share. If not, what would you say? What would be a final passing comment to listeners? And let's, at the time that this podcast is being released, it'll be early 2024.
Yeah.
What would you just want to say to everybody?
Oh my goodness. Ooh. I just, you know, I think everyone says this to themselves every single year, but just make it your year. Decide to make it your year. And know that with that will come some hard decisions, and just be, accept it, and know that part of you will have to fall away. But I can tell you what, it's the part of you that you are sick of anyway.
Yeah.
You're sick of it. You're sick of it anyway, but it doesn't feel any less painful. It won't feel any less painful. So be prepared for that and just lean in, lean into the edges, let yourself feel what it feels like. It's that self-annihilation, but you got to lean into it. And I promise you, all of those things that you've been wanting, all of your desires, they're on the other side of that. They're all on the other side of that. So just lean in and know that you just have to decide your way through it. There's not going to be the evidence. You're not going to get the green light from the universe. Trust me, when I was looking at houses, I would just show me a green bird if I meant to do everything in the universe.
Did you just say, show me a green bird?
Just random. If I meant to move here, I wanted every single thread of evidence because it was so, and I didn't even get that. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, every little, I mean, there were a few little weird things that happened where I was like, okay, but I can tell you what, you have to build this thing inside of you that I call the divine knowing muscle. And if you always follow that divine knowing, despite what your reality is showing you, this is how you transcend anything. So I also want to say this, you do not have to get caught up in what the masses have manifested. So if the masses have manifested being in scarcity because of inflation or blah, 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 you actually don't even need to experience any of that. I know this because I've created something different because I decided it could be different.
Mm.
And, I mean, that's a whole other topic probably, Amy, but like, this is what it really comes down to. You know, we give our power away because we think we have to experience what everyone else experiences, and we actually don't. We can decide something different for ourselves. So I just want to maybe leave this with you guys. Like, what are you deciding? And you can just look at your reality to figure out what you've been deciding, really, ultimately. But how are you going to decide differently? And you need to decide and continuously redecide and build the muscle of belief that whatever you want is possible. And it is a discipline. It is a discipline of the mind, which again, go re-listen to the first episode we spoke about. And this is how you step back into your free will. Because right now, if you're not experiencing the things you want to experience, it's because you've given all your power away and you've given your free will away.
Yeah. Wow. And so I think I know already for myself what I'll be doing is re-listening to both of these podcast episodes during the year just to check back in.
Yes.
Because I know how easy it is to step off the course when things don't go according to plan and to fall back into that habit of looking for evidence. So Sarah, thank you so, so much for sharing your wisdom and your incredible energy and these stories with us today. I'm excited for everybody that's listening to this conversation because I truly believe it can be a really incredible year for everyone.
Oh yeah. You just have to take for it to be.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you, Amy, so much.
This was episode 56 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. You'll find Sarah over on Instagram at sarah.tynan.quantum.coach and all further links to her work and today's show notes over at theholisticingredient.com/56. As always, if you're enjoying the series and you've 2 minutes to leave a review on your favourite podcast app, I'd truly appreciate it. Until next time, stay curious.